sports car. Shanta got big lips and handlebars. Put it on Tim like a porno star. Run back the tape in the VCR.
I'm coming, baby, like the big black kahuna. I wish you would've hunt me just a little sooner. Now rich like silver spooner. Now here's the finger, now I got to moon you. I wish you would've did that 2 years ago. Let me feel the body hit the skin, yo. Now you see a brother make a little dough. I really hate that mess, but I love you, yo.
Longo, make all the Luciano and girls with condo, Chanel with Gattano. Girl, my persona, I share like Sonny Bono. Black and white keys, lay girls on my piano. Me, Missy, and Timbo, rap at any tempo. Huckleberry, Fan, Magoo, the South Pimpo. Caught up in my lingo, B9, girl, I'm bingo. Help, I see a Beetle, cool out, that's only Ringo. Missy sang a jangle as I commence the tango. Genuine riding on a pony, put Moni in the middle. Check the riddle, got your girl pants hot a little. Thinking that she dying when you only just a nickel, take a tickle, cause your man pickle green and ridicule. Maggin' 2-0 from down south and Hickle. Black house shoes, my cane go to match. Pimp crap game, take all your scratch. Girl, I'm the P, see me on TV. BB, hook me up with your girl CC. Female, looky here, I'm Chip, you there. Let me get one kiss, just don't go tell. You so absurd, I thought you heard. If you don't know, the bird is the word. It's the bird, bird, bird. The bird is the word. The bird, bird, bird. The bird is the word.
Don't stop like a dick. Sky Page's hot miss when you need a fix. Big girls don't cry, we take all of it. Doggy style like George in the parliament. Feel me now, see my loving got you dead struckin'. Head is stuckin', the pillowcase suckin'. Shanta still handcuffin'. Just me and you, cause I'ma rock it all night. You can go fast or slow, but I'ma tell you when you get it right.
Look at you, girl, talking trash. Now I'ma come around and swing that ass. Think you been over backwards. Call me master. Have you seen Tim? Do it faster and faster. Now I'm the man with the power. I get booty calls 15 after every hour. So don't try to take it personal. I gotta get the cash. Now you got to go.
Yo, you're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. So I'm sorry to have left you guys for 2 weeks, but I was doing some traveling for work. And let me tell you guys, it was a lot. So I was in Chicago. I was in Chicago 2 weeks ago, and then I was in Houston last week. And so, if you've listened to the show before, you know we like to start off with the weather. But before I'll give the new listeners a brief synopsis of what the show is about. So the show is me talking about pop culture, some news, some jokes. We might get some jokes in there. You know, just here having a good time, hanging out in the morning while you are on the West Coast getting ready for your day. Or perhaps you're on the East Coast and you're at that job that you hate and, you know, you just want to take a little bit of time on a Thursday to maybe educate yourself or laugh a little bit. So, we can get started. So, yeah, the weather. Oh, the weather here in BC. Like, I thought last week was the end of summer, and so I tried to squeeze, like, I got back to Vancouver on Thursday, and I was trying to squeeze every ounce of sunshine out, so I went to the beach twice. But I've been blessed with this beautiful, beautiful Labor Day weekend, even though I am moving. It would not ruin my weekend. So on Friday, it is high at 25 and gradually just gets hotter and hotter throughout the day. On Monday, we get up to 30 degrees, which is about like 85 if you only live in Fahrenheit. And just to know that it will be beautiful out and I will be probably at Reg Beach hanging out. And if you know where Reg Beach is, then you know exactly how I will be hanging. When it comes to the weather, normally, you know, here in Vancouver, we've been focusing on the wildfires as our, like, natural disaster of focus. But it seems to be that, I don't know if you guys have heard, but there it was a big storm hit Houston last week, and it's still raining a week later. And one of the craziest things, we're not going to get into this because I don't know much about it, but there was flooding, massive flooding in Mumbai, and I can't remember the third place, but like three storms hit the world in the past week, and it's kind of crazy. But I had just escaped Houston. So on Wednesday, so I was in Houston from Monday and supposed to be there until Friday. But on Wednesday, I got an alert. One, my mom texted me because, you know, moms are like, they just know everything. They can tell you exactly what's going to happen before it happens. And it's usually like, hey, I told you not to do that. And then it happens and then you do it and you end up being like, man, I should listen to my mom. However, my mom called me on Wednesday and was like, hey, I don't know if you heard about the storm coming in the Gulf. And then I got an alert from United, and then it was like, oh, yeah, check your flight. We're expecting delays on Friday, blah, blah, blah. So I turned to my manager and I say, hey, there is a tropical storm in the Gulf right now. You think we'll be able to get on Friday? Because me, personally, I was thinking about my own I'm thinking about myself. Like, I like to give and I like to, and I look at myself as a very altruistic person. However, I'm just like everybody else. I'm very self-interested in me. So I wanted to get back to Vancouver. Had some friends, had a friend visiting, and we had planned this like months and months ago. And it just turned out that she was here on that week. And so I wasn't there because I was at work. So I was like, oh, I want to get back so I can kick with my homie from home, you know, like make, you know, just kick it. So when my manager was like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe you should take a look into see if what's available on Thursday night. And so I get back to my hotel and I'm like talking to the front desk people and nobody really seems concerned about the storm. So they're all like, oh, it's just a tropical storm. They're like, oh, I'm from Miami. A tropical storm is nothing. Like, you shouldn't be worried about it. And like me, we don't even get thunder or lightning here in Vancouver. I'm thinking, you know, I'm like thinking just about Sandy. I'm just thinking about Hurricane Sandy. Like, oh, man, that was the last real hurricane that I felt. And on Thursday when I woke up, it had evolved from being a tropical depression to a It evolved from being a tropical depression to a potential, Category 1 hurricane, and then what happened? People still weren't worried, and I was really surprised because I actually went to the liquor store that day. You know, I planned on doing some. We're doing work, not just because I was going to the liquor store in the afternoon. It's for work, and nobody was freaking out. There's lots of water. Lots of beer on the shelves. Nobody's like, no, the people and the workers, they're just like chilling, like making jokes. I saw the biggest cockroach I've ever seen in my life. And then, so when I get out of there, I head to the airport. And even the airport's not very packed. And I expected the airport to be packed. But then on Friday when I woke up, it's like, oh, it went from a Category 1 hurricane to a Category 4 hurricane, which is a big-ass jump. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Houston, but Houston is doing pretty bad right now. So I feel fortunate that I was able to, like, get out before the hurricane came. But part of me wishes, like, oh, man, I wish I didn't get out so then I could be there to help people. But then I think back and I was like, well, what good would I have been if I didn't need saving? I didn't have a boat there or nothing or any food. All I had was 3 beers in my fridge. And, I mean, that would have lasted me, like, 30 minutes. So I'd have been eating toothpaste for, like, 3 days. Interesting. I was right down the street from Lakewood Church. And I don't know if you don't know Lakewood Church is Joel Osteen's church. And, oh, it's huge. And I was joking with my friends earlier in the week, oh, man, like, I would like to go and check it out. I didn't really have enough time while I was there, but I mean, I guess I could have checked it out on Friday had I been stuck in Houston, except for the fact that Joel Osteen, a pastor who grossed a tax-free $77 million last year, didn't open his church doors until it was like Tuesday this week. And like, it's kind of crazy for me, who's someone who like grew up religious, but is no longer subscribes to that. It's just really difficult for me to understand it. Like, why isn't that like the first place? And it's funny because, you know, he says that, oh, that, you know, he wasn't asked to have the church open like as a refuge, and first it was flooded, then he wasn't asked, then all of these excuses come in, and basically it was like, yo, I didn't want y'all coming in here and tearing my shit up and you know, and ruining my church that I worked so hard to trick you guys out of your money so you could pay for. A tweet went out from like the Houston Muslim Association was like, Joel Osteen's church might not be open, but our 21 mosque are. And it's funny that, like, you know, while we have like these very serious wars, which are pretty much like Muslim versus Christian, like I think the United States is like a Christian nation, and we have these wars against these Muslim nations, even though, you know, we ally with like a really huge Muslim nation. It's like these petty Twitter crusades from, you know, mosques and churches, and it's not even petty. It's the most like mosques are like, yo, we're actually not that bad. And you guys are way worse than you like to put off. But, you know, I would say, like, I'm praying for the people in Houston, but I'm not, like, actually praying. Like, I just, like, wish that they would do better. I wish that, like, Houston would be in a better condition, because this shitty part about flooding is that when all of the water recedes, you have to go back to your house and deal with that, like, the foundation and, you know, mold and drywall and, you know, like, not like, I don't think it'll be as bad as Katrina where you're like finding dead bodies in buildings. But like, I mean, I'm sure that there are some. So one thing we have seen from the like fallout of Hurricane Harvey is we've seen a lot of gifts, people giving money, like raising money, like a lot of really rich people, you know, have really put like their platform to use to raise a lot of money, like JJ Watt and lots of these other athletes, you know, are really, you know, taking on this social activism. So, you know, for a cause that they believe in, and like nobody seems to have an issue with these players, you know, raising awareness for, you know, these particular set of people. You know, who need help and who have been unfairly discriminated against by, you know, the hurricane. So it makes you think, like, you know, nobody's calling J.J. Watt a distraction or any of the other individuals who decided to, you know, raise money. They even canceled the football game. That's not a distraction. I have no idea. When we get back, we'll be talking like later in the show, because I don't want to spend the first, 30 minutes of the show talking about Hurricane Harvey, because we have lots to talk about as we get to the second half. You know, we like to talk about a little bit of BC local news. So we'll be doing that after the break. And is Vancouver really as drug-filled as you might think? Hold on. Oh, we're having some technical difficulties with our Sam. So, what that means is we're going to go into some music. So, we got a lot of this, like, since I've been on for 2 weeks ago, there's so much good music out. There's, like, so much good music out. So, you're going to listen to some of it.
These niggas take me for granted. What would happen if I vanish? Bet 100 they panic. My shooters only speak Spanish. Keep my heart with my dogs. Keep my car in the yard. I can't drive in no way, so I let you niggas take off. Seen the shit that they drop. That shit not instantly hot. I give that instant rebop. That replay value go off. That make my value go up. I keep that bow in my cup. My niggas rolling, got the going with 1,000 a bus. That nigga Kevin K. Rap. He too sappy with his shit. He don't rep me with his shit. He on that teenage bullshit. Ain't he about 20 and shit? When he let go of that shit, he'll probably be a little quarter. Y'all agree with me, shit? That nigga need an accusation. He ain't acting like a grown up. Ain't that boy protect us? He ain't acting like a soldier. Knew that boy in high school, man. That nigga wasn't awkward. And I know his mama, man. That nigga just a liar.
Cash don't last. My friends are right with me. Keep him in my bag. We rob the limousine. When the guns go up, I won't bother us again. I don't wanna do it, but they keep on pushing me.
Cash don't mean shit, shit. Cry my last bitch, bitch. Catch my last bitch.
Niggas, I need a crown made of thorns. God said let there be light. On the day I was born, step off the ship with the slaves. Then I go hit the stage. I just left in a whip. All I need is a chain. I don't trust no niggas, and I don't trust no bitch, cause people talk too much. I bought a black 4/5 in a brand new clip. That's my new best friend, cause I'm a brand new nigga in a brand new crib. I ain't selling no more, but got my hand in the zip. Whitey gave me the check. I ain't asked for the fame. I used to deal with the grams, so they put the cam on my face. Now I'm evading the law. I'm on a high speed chase. I'm in a big ass truck. I tell them get out the way. I got a couple of warrants, so I'm leaving my state. Now I'm in Cali today with the sun on my face. I got a bag of the gas and a blunt I can face.
How I'm gonna move at your pace? I'm busy setting the tone. You think we running together? I'm in the lane of my own. Don't got no friends in this game. It's me and my brothers alone. They thinking that we competing. That shit depleting my bones. I don't need all that energy. They just fuck up my chakras. I put my heart in the locker. They love me when I'm a martyr. They hate me when I'm myself. I can't barter with that. You watch us charter these tracks. It's sticking like tartar and plaque. I need a parlor of plaques. Need lobsters and helicopters. I need peace on my niggas. Need doctors. Care for all my doctors. I like to speak like a scholar. Like to think like a nigga. In this world, I can't wander. No honor behind the trigger. I could get shot in my back. And I tell the world that I fought them. We ain't taught them nothing new, but somehow they been getting smarter. That's what they saying in private. Speaking from that entitlement, we still working for titles and making title environments.
Cash don't last, my friends are right with me. Keep them in my bag, we rob the limousine. When the guns go by, I won't bother us again. I don't wanna
the shop, swerving to the sunset. Me and all my boys jet, swerving like a donut. Off, 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 swerving like a donut.
Very far from home, my God. I don't know where we go. I've been very far from home, my heart.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. What you're listening to is Brockhampton, some Canadian dudes with the song Gummy, and then Jelani R.A. He is not Canadian. However, I think the producers. So we were talking a little bit about like the hurricane, and then we wanted to go into some British Columbia news. If you know what we'd like to talk about here, what we have seen is a great reduction in the forest fires, at least from my perspective. I'm sure that they're still burning hot as shit in Alberta or in Western BC. However, the smoke is gone, and like I said, pretty interested in myself. So I haven't really heard anything about it since the last time we talked. We've had an eclipse, hurricanes, all of these natural disasters, some fires. And what we've been seeing here in this in Vancouver is a newspaper came out and called Vancouver Syringe City, and that's just because Vancouver is like one of the places where you can they have needle exchanges for people who are into intravenous drug use. They have needle exchange for people who are intravenous drug use. So what you'll see a lot is of drug addicts, particularly on the east side, is that there are syringes like that, like literally litter the streets, which is really ugly, and it seems to be dangerous. I mean, not seems to be, it is dangerous. Like, you can't have syringes, like, walking around, particularly, like, in areas where, like, there's drunk white women who take their heels off and walk barefoot in the streets. You know, one of the literally most disgusting things that I've seen. However, in my 10 years since going to college, it's one thing that I got used to is that, like, girls, they wear shoes when they go out that they can't walk in, and instead of just, like, toughing it out or going home early, what they do is they take their shoes off and then they'll just walk around barefoot, like in the club, on the streets, in the snow, in the heat, no matter what type of weather, they will be out there barefoot. And when you live in a city where there's, you know, you see people shooting heroin on the street, you're going to see some needles, and that should make you nervous. So, it's interesting because it's the city labeled like Vancouver as like this like city on drugs, when like if you come here you might see a few people who are on drugs, but like the city in general is very, 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 very clean. And I don't know, about a few months ago, they talked about how the Vancouver police officers found that, like, the birds had made a nest out of the needles, and which turned out to be a fraudulent photo, but they used that in this article. So, you know, like, you know, while Vancouver is like the fourth city that I've lived in, you know, as an adult, and it's probably like one of the nicest, like I lived in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and DC and here in Vancouver, and I really have come to like understand that, like, I understand like this pride in the city. Like, I'm not from here, but I take pride in, like, even Cleveland. Like, people are like, hey man, Cleveland sucks. I'm like, you know what, fuck you. Excuse me, sorry. I'm like, you know what, Cleveland's not that bad. I just thought about like, I can talk about Cleveland, but I just get mad, like, thinking about people talking about places that I have some type of reverence for. No, I'm going to get in trouble for that. But that's what happens when you have a morning show and you just get really high energy and you have ate one too many McGriddles. So we're going to play a clip from the Twitter, which I thought was so one of, like, the greatest things I've seen was some people were talking about who has and who hasn't helped here. So we're going to take a note from this fast food chain and hear about this story about Chick-fil-A.
Tell me how you ended up on a jet ski heading out of your flooded home.
Monday morning, we realized we had to evacuate. We had to get out of there. And so I called Chick-fil-A. Now, that sounds kind of funny, but I ordered 2 grilled chicken burritos with extra egg and a boat. And can you believe that the manager, one of the managers of Chick-fil-A, she sent her husband to pick us up. And we are so grateful and so thankful.
That is incredible. And I know you loaded your possessions onto that boat, and there wasn't a lot of room for you and Karen to get in. So all of a sudden, some jet skis showed up.
So Karen jumped on the back of the jet ski, and I jumped on the back of another one, and they evacuated us to higher ground, and we are ever so grateful.
Now, I thought that was amazing. Like, Like, one, Chick-fil-A doesn't have, like, the best humanitarian humanitarian reputation. They, the owner of Chick-fil-A has come out and said, you know, talked about how he doesn't agree with gay marriage. Now, like, bro, nobody cares about your opinion about gay marriage. Just get back and fry that chicken up, because the chicken is delicious. And not only is the chicken delicious, but the Chick-fil-A is actually known, they know, are known for having a customer service that is phenomenal. Now, this goes beyond, like, what a genius. What a genius this man is. This man is like, yo, you know what? I need to get saved, and I need some chicken as well. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call Chick-fil-A. Uber Eats. They're going to send a boat out here and some jet skis, pick me and my wife up. You know, we're going to ride out. Like, I get envious when I think about people who, I know that there's people smarter than me. Like, I think I'm pretty smart. I know there's people smarter than me. But, like, when I think about people who have come up with solutions, like, very simple solutions that I never even thought about, like, that's what really, it doesn't make me mad. It gives me, like, this deep sense of, like, wonder about, like, wow, like, what are the possibilities? And so this guy, oh man, he's smart. Like, no wonder why he's probably been married to his wife for like 50 years, because he just makes shit happen. He makes it happen. He's like, you know what, we're gonna get these chicken sandwiches, maybe some waffle fries, you know, I need some of that Polynesian sauce, we're gonna ride out eating these chicken nuggets. So, you know, like, that's Chick-fil-A. That's their regular employees, the ones who are, you know, trying to make a little bit more than minimum wage. You know, like, I think minimum wage in Texas is like $7.75. And so they want a fair wage, want $15. And so whenever I hear about people saying, like, you know, they can't even get my order right at McDonald's. They can't even get my order right. You know, they don't deserve $15. One, think about all the times that they do get your order right, flawlessly and fast. And they get you your stuff, and they don't complain when you or when the person in front of you is being a dick, or when you're being a dick, or when the person behind you is being a dick. They never complain. They just do the job, and they just get it done. They drop the fries. And sometimes, if you're stuck in a hurricane and a flood, they'll send a damn boat out to get you. So stop giving people such a hard time for just wanting to be able to live. However, we have an alternate where a public official, pretty famous. Let's hear him talking about the hurricane and some of the and just like this is just him at a rally. You know, we're not even gonna talk about who it is. What? Don't you hate when your computer, like, you have something up and then it just, like, disappears? Waiting for it. Well, wait to get this video up. Like, one of the things that was going on during Hurricane Harvey was price gouging. So, like, you saw pictures on there selling, like, a bottle of water for, like, $25. And they sent a bottle of water for like $25, and they are were selling, like, you know, like toilet paper for $20. Like, just like these retailers were making so, like, they drove the price up so much. And then a Forbes article came out and was talking about, you know, this is exactly why we need price gouging in these areas. Oh my gosh! Like, and like the tone deafness of the writer and the people and the editor who you know, who allowed this article to come out. And like, well, like, okay, I understand. I'm an economics major. Like, I understand about how these market forces work. You know, they tried to talk about, like, you know, supply and demand and the idea that, like, if price is gouging goes up, then it'll incentivize people to come from surrounding areas and try to bring in more of those resources because it represents the scarcity, and understand that, like, you know, if people see an opportunity to make profit, then they'll come down and they'll sell, they'll bring water, and then it'll drive the price back down. Man, ain't nobody trying to hear all of that shit, man. Like, yo, people are out there with nothing, with no water and no food and nothing. And you're talking about market forces? Come on, I mean, these are real people's lives. People are like, yo, I'm not paying $50 for water. Like, I don't know when the next time I'll be able to get cash. I don't know the next time I'll be able to go to the ATM. You know, I can't pay you $50 for your milk or, you know, cereal or whatever the hell you're selling. Like the idea that, like, people have boiled down, like, you know, like, I think what capitalism does is it boils down to people to just simply numbers. And so, like, when you look at the issue, you're like, oh yeah, this is an economic issue and the price gouging, blah blah blah. Really what it is a monopoly, and the guy in the convenience store is like, you know, I could probably make, you know, a quick, you know, $1,000 more this week if I you know, jack the prices up on these Milano cookies, or, you know, these Doritos. Like, shit, Doritos going for $12 a bag. Now, it's horrible. But the worst part is that, like, has the convenience store owner sold them for, like, a normal price, I'm sure that there is someone who's hoarding all of that. And I don't know if you guys watched Lost, but it's a similar thing happened on the island where I can't remember that character's name, but he was a jerk. And, yeah, he just, like, got all the medicine and the supplies and then decided that, you know, he was the distributor. And jacked the prices up. But that's what a monopoly is. So, like, a monopoly is where you have the ability to control, the demand is inelastic. And demand is inelastic, and you have power to control prices. And so what you can do is you're just going to maximize your profit and sell as many as you can for as much as you can. And when dealing with people, that's not good. Like what we did see, I saw some really innovative and some really cool things coming out. Like one thing I love about the interweb, just the electronic superhighway we have is just the amount of information that you can receive so fast. So what I saw was Anheuser-Busch in their Georgia plant had stopped canning beer and had started to simply can water and ship water in cans. And I'm like, well, what a great idea. Like, everybody knows how to catch a beer. So you know what that means? Everybody knows how to catch water. So, I think, like, when we think about, like, innovation and, like, you know, ways to help, like, it's not always just giving money, but, like, these big brands, these big businesses have, you know, a responsibility to these people. And it's cool to see, like, Anheuser-Busch do something like that. It's cool to see, Chick-fil-A and their employees, like, the Chick-fil-A manager, you know, who thought this was going to be a great idea, or the owner of that particular Chick-fil-A, you know, anybody who's, like, who decided, like, you know, this is what we want to do, and this is how we want to help people. It's great. Like, it's nice to see, our politicians and stuff like that, like, actually get their hands dirty and pick people up and stuff like that. But, like, I'm trying to find it. Those are the types of things we want to see from people. We want to see people get their hands dirty. But this is what we saw from one particular guy.
Thank you, everybody. I just want to say we love you. You are special. We're here to take care. It's going well. And I want to thank you for coming out. We're going to get you back and operating immediately. Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout.
What a crowd. What a turnout. Your people. There's millions and millions of people affected in the greater Houston area. Like, what a crowd, what a turnout to my rally. Like, one, okay, I can't be the other one. I don't know if you saw the clip, but in the clip, Donald Trump has his hat on. And it's white, and it has USA and the Navy letters. It's, like, pretty basic, but, like, besides the fact that it says 45 on the side, which when I think of 45, I don't think of Donald Trump. I think of Jordan coming back with the 45 after he retired from baseball. Like, that's what I think about 45. Like, I'm not gonna let Donald Trump steal my post baseball Jordan from me. So, anyways, but the hat is kind of nice. Like, I kind of rock with the hat. I would definitely have to get 44 on it. But the hat is kind of dope. Anyways, Trump saying, what a crowd, what a turnout. It just shows that, like, yo, this dude actually doesn't care about anything. I read a report yesterday. It was like, yeah, Trump's son said that he doesn't listen to all the critiques because he refuses to hear anything bad about him because he doesn't want to go into a depressive, suicidal state. I'm like, man, this man's nearly 80 years old. You don't have to think about suicide when you're 80 years old because, listen, that is coming for you. You don't have to think about suicide. You don't have that many years left. Just relax, dude, and let it go. But, like, the coldness, and I don't know why we expect anything but that from this guy. Like, I think, you know, as we look at the stories and we just think about all these things that are coming up, you know, all these things that have been going on the past week, like, one, we can't let up, but we need, like, better strategy. We can't continue to be shocked. After we come back, where we're going to be talking a little bit about Joe Aropo. I don't know how you say his name, but, sheriff, which he pardoned last week. So, stay tuned.
Damn, last time I seen her, nigga, she was in the Melissa. Now she in them Yeezys. Nigga, last
on everything. Yeah. I want in on everything. Two-seater driver winner by any means. Ass shot, titty job, no wintering.
Hey, elevator lift up, top floor, penthouse, suite, encore, LB. Baby girl, 23, looking like she 18. Pull out the ID, let me see. Never get the best of me. You ain't gotta lie to kick it. Baby girl, you ain't gotta ask permission. I'm just trying to figure out your addiction. Why you keep popping all those prescriptions? And she got her hair all wavy, nails done up all crazy. Grandma watching her baby, eyes all hazy. Sleeping all day, so lazy. When she wake up, she just wanna get drunk. She just wanna have fun. Wanna hit the club. She just wanna get fucked. Yeah.
Yeah. This time it's on you. You was working out at the WeHo Equinox. Yeah, last time I saw you, you was telling me how you couldn't get enough. Why? Yeah,
you can't tell me why.
Yeah, why I can't come over?
Why you won't let me inside?
Yeah, you say you know what.
Yo,
girl, I know you don't belong to me, but your man ain't here and I'm trying to take you home with me. Last time that I saw you, working on squats in the gym like you trying to keep your tone for me. Baby girl, give it all to me. Yeah, I see that nigga calling, but that don't really bother me. Won't you come take a walk with me, talk to me, put it on top of me, rock with me. Now we about to get a little messy, fucking up the bed sheets. Baby girl, you dead me. Know it's been a little while since you met me. Maybe you should let me hit it to the melody. Okay then, look in my eyes, soon as I grip on them thighs. Don't run, just take it in stride. You can't fake it if you try, baby. Yeah, I know you like it. Yeah, I know you like it. Yeah, I know you like it. I know you like it. I know you like it. Get on top, slow ride.
Sexy, mamita, mamita, I'm feeling sexy now. New money.
Top tier, and I got some years on the ground. Top tier, so don't have no tears coming down. Unless I'm on shrooms. Had my little brother and my homegirl in the room. Talking to the walls, yeah. Used to stack it in the jar, yeah. And I was wired, I didn't keep it off the wiretaps, yeah. Now it's quiet when it's time to rap. Maybe snakey till it's time to rap. Yeah, and if I never find them, I'll be fine with that. I'll be leading till the final lap. Yeah, I'm gonna win the title back to back. Yeah, get to flipping like an acrobat. Whoa, this shit entertaining, yeah, it's true. But it's not entertainment when that flamer aim at you. I am not to be played with in detention after school. And it's not, and I'm new, I'm just not who you knew. And whoa, they act like I'm a threat inside the room. And whoa. Cause I'm the best inside the room, yeah, top tier. And I got some years on the ground. Top tier, still don't have no tears coming down. And I don't fall in love. Buy another bottle just to pop it in the tub. I don't need the love. Daddy in a hotel counting hundreds off the bus. Rookies want the room key, they got nothing but up. Way too much to lose. Tony, 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 rent the condo by the tool. I got way too much to lose. And wow, cop a couple chains. Money got my ex and got too strange, yeah, wow. Way too fucking strange, yeah, wow. New money got my ex and got too strange, yeah, wow. Tony, 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 oh, yeah. Tony, better pay me what you owe me, yeah.
Oye, negro, déjame que te amo, que ven aquí, papi, tu linda. Bésame, trócame, agárame, que se
back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we've been talking about a lot of stuff, particularly around the hurricane and around Trump, and the response is that I've seen from some people, and they have been truly heartwarming in a time where we need some heartwarming. Like in a time where, like, literally we got Nazis coming back, you know, it's It's just like a bad House of the Dead movie. You know, we got Nazis coming back, Confederate flag, army generals, you know, coming out of the grave, you know, fully dressed in their Confederate, I don't even know what color. Were they blue or were they gray? Like the, I think like the Union was gray. Navy, I don't know. I don't know which one was which. They're both racist, so don't let them fool you. Like, whichever flag you're flying, listen, like, this race is flying every flag, every single one. That doesn't mean everyone who's carrying a flag is racist, but like when I see somebody with a flag who takes like that much pride, unless it's like the Caribbean parade, like if you take so much pride in your flag, I'm nervous. So I don't know if you you probably actually don't give a shit, but I don't know if you've been following American politics, but. Or particularly this one specific sect in Arizona. Like, why would you care about Arizona? I don't. But I think it speaks to, like, a larger ideal. So last week, Donald Trump presidential pardoned this sheriff who had been sheriff in Arizona for about 25 years. And he had a reputation for being like the toughest sheriff in America. Not only was he the toughest sheriff in America, he didn't give a F about when anybody said it. Judge, F it. Supreme Court judge, F it. President, F that guy too. Until it was, you know, when you talk about that guy, talking about, you know, Barack Obama. But, so he had committed a crime by, you know, illegally targeting Hispanic individuals in Arizona and basically forcing them to show them freedom papers and identification that they were here in America legally. And so what he would do is, like, they would, like, everybody, you know, you look Spanish, if you were, you had a really dark tan, I don't want to, you know, like, if you said hola, if you shopped at Taco Bell, you bought food from Taco Bell, you're probably going to get stopped. So what they would do is they would target individuals and then deport them if they were here illegally. But, like, you can't just be walking up on people asking them to show you identification so that I can see if you are here legally or not. It's crazy. We talk about people as, like, illegals, you know, when it comes with, like, imaginary lines. However, he was sentenced to jail because a judge told him to stop. He refused to stop, and so he was charged and convicted, and he was supposed to be sentenced in October. But, you know, Donald Trump looked into his heart, found, like, the goodness in his heart, and was like, you know what? I can't rightfully send that racist man to jail because he was just, you know, doing the Lord's work. Anyways. I feel like in a time where, you know, not only say it's, like, racially sensitive, I feel like we only talk about, like, it being, like, racially sensitive, like, when, like white people get uncomfortable, so, like, that's when it's sensitive. Like, because, like, a lot of these issues, like, my mom told me about, like, a long time, she told me about a long time ago. Like, my mom, we'll get into a little bit about Dick Gregory in a little bit, because I want to talk about, you know, like, the influence that a man who I have never met and who just passed away, you know, has had on me. But, yeah, like, at the time where, like, you know, people are very conscious about, like, what's going on, to give, like, a guy like that a presidential pardon really is openly saying that, like, you know, we as a state, as, like, a nation, we sponsor this type of behavior. Like, this is the type of behavior which we want to continue. And it's not, like, not only is it not a good look, it's dangerous. Like, we've seen it's dangerous. Like, they had the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, and, like, that was weeks ago, and they're just arresting the man who shot, who fired shots into a crowd of, you know, like, of anti-protesters. And the police did nothing. Like, you shoot a gun at anti-protesters and you're like, okay, nothing happened. So what that makes you believe is that, like, yeah, this is by design. And so the problem I see is that, like, the these Nazis, these right wings have monopolized, like, gun control and the idea that, like, they control all the guns. Now, like, while I don't believe in, you know, killing people, and I don't believe in, I'm not going to say I'm like, I don't think guns should exist, but they do exist. So I think that everybody should know how to defend themselves, because one thing I'm not going to do, one thing I'm not going to ever tell anybody is that you don't have the right to defend yourself, particularly from people who want to eliminate you. Like, I don't think that it's useful to go up to people and say, hey, we want peace. And they're like, you know what? We want you dead. And you're like, you know what? I just want peace. And they're like, well, I don't want you anywhere near me. Or I want you dead. And so, like, I don't think there's really any negotiating. So, like, and if those people have guns and have the ability to eliminate you, then I feel like you have not only the right, but, like, the duty to, like, you know, stand up, get a gun yourself and be like, hey, you know what? If you shoot my friend, I'm going to shoot you back. Because that's what it's about. But and it leads to, like, discussion like this. So, like, there is a in Atlanta, there's a dash cam that went off where Lieutenant Greg Abbott of Cobb County, which is, like, the county that Atlanta resides in, after she said she's afraid to put her hands down because she's seen too many videos of cops, like, shooting people, the lieutenant says, yeah, but you're not black. Remember, we only shoot black people. Yeah, we kill black people, right? Now, when you hear that, you know, you should be worried a little bit. But you really should be worried is because, like, the president just, like, pardoned a sheriff who illegally targeted Hispanic people and send them, you know, so that they could, like, send them to, like, internment camps, send them to tent cities, send them to, like, you know, like, to deport them, to break up families. And then, you know, we've had this, like, this past, like, 4 years since pretty much a non-cop, because this really all of this started with George Zimmerman, who was not a police officer, you know, and Trayvon Martin, who's just a 16-year-old kid. Like, that's where, like, I feel like the catalyst of everything that has gone on in the past, you know, 4 years has happened since then. And it was never about the police. Like, that's the thing. Like, George Zimmerman, it's never been about the police. It's just the police now, because when we think about police, we think about, like, a state sponsor, you know, who's actually backing and has, like, you know, resources and military equipment. But, like, this all started because of a neighborhood watch dude who felt he was within his rights to approach a individual, get beat up by the individual, and then shoot him. And people are defending that guy, and now they're going to defend these guys. And then, so, like, when you see, like, these protesters, like, in Charlottesville, and you see these protesters, like, you see these, like, Nazis, you know, like, all around, and they have this military garb on. They're, like, wearing the tans and the boots, and they got assault rifles, and they have walkie-talkies, and they got bulletproof vests, and they have all of this, you know, they got, like, 3-4 weapons on them. Shooting into crowds. When you see that, you're like, okay, they look like the state. And then when you think about, like, how the police responded to the act, to the shooter within the protest, and then you look at the difference about how they reacted to people who are protesting when people get shot by the police, or when people are just upset, or when people are marching or walking or anything, you know, how those are met. And those people don't have guns, they don't bring guns to these type of places. Then you have to, like, start to question, like, okay, like, you know, what is this actually about? And now they just question it, but, like, there's lots of people who already know. Like, they told us about it. So you have to be wary. And So like, let's get into, you know, we have only a few more minutes here. So Dick Gregory, I don't know if you know who Dick Gregory, he is an activist. He was a comedian first, an entertainer first, then an activist, but like kind of at the same time. He was doing it his whole life. He just passed away last week. And if you've never had the chance to listen to Dick Gregory, I advise you just go to YouTube, you just type in Dick Gregory, and you just watch you wake up in the morning, until you go to sleep, you just wake up and you just watch Dick Gregory. You can watch his interview on The Breakfast Club, you can watch him on his own podcast, and him talking about like anything, any topic you ever want to talk about. You type in Dick Gregory, you can type in Dick Gregory, and you can type in boxing, you can type in Dick Gregory, anything. Like, he's just a very smart guy. Was a very smart man. But I learned a story about him, since his passing, and it was about, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Mississippi Burning. So it was about these three individuals, so two white and one black, and they go down to Mississippi so that they can register people to vote. And what happens on their way down is they basically get stopped by the police, and then the police arrest them, and they get it. It's like this big thing. They end up getting murdered that night. And in the movie Mississippi Burning, it talks about how like the FBI goes down and finds out, it was the sheriffs, and basically the whole city was involved in this conspiracy to cover it up, and talked about this missing people report and all of this stuff. But upon like reading more into that and reading more about Dick Gregory's life, what had happened was that like the FBI was led by J. Edgar Hoover at the time, who, was trying to kill Martin Luther King. And it's really Dick Gregory who drove a caravan of cars from Philadelphia. He said he was in Germany at the time when he heard about it. Then he was in the States that night, canceled his show, goes through, drives a caravan of 15 cars. They go down and do investigating themselves. He ends up putting up, calls up Hugh Hefner. Very interesting. Calls up Hugh Hefner and to get some money so that they can post a reward for people who, for anybody who has any information. And basically he goes down and gets the information about the whereabouts of where the bodies were buried. Basically submits it to the FBI, and the FBI like can't deny it. So what happened is that the FBI had already had that information, and for 44 days, they basically hid it until Dick Gregory unveiled it. And so he talks about, like in an interview, talks about how if these, these quote unquote, like, if these like hillbilly, uneducated white dudes, with no plan, who didn't have this conspiracy, could trick the FBI for 44 days and not get the information until he went down there, which obviously doesn't make any sense. So like the FBI like conspired to cover up, this atrocity, and these types of things happened all the time. And so, but Dick Gregory, like, he talks in depth about lots of these types of things, like lots of these things that you would be surprised about, that you shouldn't be surprised about. I feel like me, in any type of position where like you can like, you talk, or you can like read or think, or you have like, you're at work and you want to talk to people, like you should just question all things and, bring that type of curiosity and spirit of, not just like questioning, but like going and actually doing stuff. And so like, that's when I think about Dick Gregory and when I think about like what, he stands for. And why I think he's an important historical figure. Like, I can't wait until they go. It will be sad, to talk about his passing. But like when they put an exhibit of him in the African American History Museum in D.C., better believe I'll go and check it out. But that's the show today. Thanks for having me back. Thank you for listening. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8 in the morning. You can find the podcast on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. If you like to hear my voice as well as my friends, you can listen to our hip-hop show on Tuesdays, Crimes and Treasons, or you can follow that podcast on crimesandtreasons.com or mixcloud.com/crimesandtreasons or Facebook. And we play some of the newest hip-hop and R&B, not only in Canada, not only in North America, but worldwide.